Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan. I have Mikey and John joining me to discuss the Week Zero matchup, Wyoming Cowboys against the Illinois Fighting Illini. Tommy DeVito named QB1 today. Boys, how we feeling?
Yeah, I mean, a little surprised. I'm not sure if, you know, Coach Bielema came out and said why he decided to announce it, you know, a day or two before the game, and why not at the Monday press conference. But I think what's most important about this is that everybody in the locker room has known that Tommy's been the starter for probably the last 2 weeks. So, you know, as fans, we obviously, you know, we want to know, and it's good to know before the game for our, you know, selfish reasons. But what's most important is in the locker room, and those guys have known for a pretty good amount of time.
How do I feel, Dan? I feel great. Suck it, Robert. Yeah. I mean, Tommy DeVito, my guy. Been pining for him since, I guess, whenever the podcast dropped. But no, actually, I'm just glad that they have some, you know, something set in stone for the QB battle, so that, you know, like, there is no friction in the locker room of like, okay, like, we don't really have the confidence in one guy, so they're going to go forward with Tommy. And yeah, maybe there will be a quicker hook on him if something goes awry early or middle of the season. But I think that this is probably the best way to go about it, because what's the old adage? If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one, type thing. So I'm glad they just kind of went out and said it.
I feel like that's probably a confidence booster to the QB. And I mean, the fact that you name him starting QB publicly, that makes me think the QB competition wasn't that close. I don't know if that's necessarily true or not, but the fact that he's, you know, announced publicly, I think we're in good shape. And I think that means he's proven to do what the coaching staff was expecting him to do when they brought him in the off season. So who knows if it was a handshake promise at the back in December when they signed him, but he's clearly got the job. So looking forward to seeing what he can produce out there.
Yeah, I'm curious, because if this is like Brett Bielema mind games, or if he actually believes it, because I heard him say in like some of his comments when he announced the starter, he made a reference to Russell Wilson. And I get that, like, they're pretty similar quarterbacks in the sense of like being athletes who can throw the ball well. I'm wondering though, if like, because even as we talked about in the preview, you know, he had that gunslinger moniker for Tommy DeVito, so he might have been, you know, kind of publicly sandbagging a little bit in that sense. But now he's doing the thing where, now that the season's rolling around, he's going to do everything he can to build those guys up. So maybe a little bit, he's kind of playing both ends of the spectrum, where it's like, oh yeah, you know, he's this gunslinger and we're worried about him. But then it's like, yeah, but he also reminds me a little of Russell Wilson. It's like, I don't really know if that's quite the case, but I would love for that to happen. Sign me up for that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, that's what we've been missing, because, you know, for the last few years, our quarterbacks were not, you know, big risk takers. So maybe that'll, you know, jolt our offense a little bit, because it's been pretty flat the last few years with Brandon and then Art a couple times last year. So I'm actually really excited to watch Tommy play. Just, you know, seeing how he is. I've never met him in person, but just seeing his demeanor on social media. John, I think you touched on that a little bit.
Big,
you
know, team football. Player.
Yeah.
Illinois. Yeah,
Illinois. That's our guy.
He's electric.
Illinois, Big Ten football, can't beat it.
Yeah, but no, you know, you want to play for, you know, a confident, vocal leader like that. And it seems like, you know, because guys gravitate towards that in the locker room. So, you know, I'm pumped. I'm excited to see what he can do. And, you know, you better not let me down. That's for sure.
Tommy Deep Balls is what I dubbed him. So we'll see if he can go over the top a few more times than Illinois did last year. But I don't know if we touched on this before, but Art Sitkowski, I really like Art, but he, to me, is like an NFL quarterback. And like Mikey said, having a vocal leader, maybe borderline cocky leader at quarterback, I think plays in college. So I'm excited to see DeVito. I think he's the kind of guy that the team will get behind. And, you know, that confidence will hopefully inspire the rest of the team to play a similar style. And we'll see how far it takes him. But I'm really excited to have that kind of quarterback in there this year and see where that takes us.
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like I almost like let out like a deep breath. Like I'm like it's, I feel fresh again, you know, like it's a different type of excitement that I have, knowing it's a guy who, you know, hasn't put the uniform on before. And I've, you know, obviously watched a little bit of his film at Syracuse, and he can make some plays. So we'll see what he can do on Saturday.
All right, I want to ask you guys this. Week zero, this is the second year we've played a week zero game. Do we think playing week zero is an advantage? Getting, you know, to run some extra plays, you know, work out some kinks potentially, or is it a disadvantage because next week the team, Indiana, we're playing, will have footage and we'll have revealed some of our secrets up to that point?
I think it could, you're not going to like this answer, but I think it could go either way. You know, because something about Illinois is, you know, they've been prepping, you know, game prepping for an extra week, to whereas Indiana was, you know, in grueling camp, and camp really takes it out of you. And just more so the excitement of going out there and finally hitting another jersey, you know, because you're going against the same guys every single day for 4 weeks. It's pretty exhausting. But on the flip side of that, Dan, as you mentioned, Indiana's, you know, going to have all the game film. So hopefully we can, you know, get up early on them and just keep it vanilla on offense and defense, so Indiana can't, you know, really see what type of team we are.
Yeah, I think in the vacuum of this season that it may not help you quite as much as you would like. I think last year it helped a lot. And in the usual cases of, you know, most of our college watching career, it's usually been, you know, your three non-cons at the front, and then you get into Big Ten play. But now with this weird shakeup, it's like, okay, they can get a read on what, you know, Barry Lunny's offense will be like at U of I. Whereas, you know, in years past, it's kind of like you can't really prep for that because that'll be week four and five's concern. But I do like it in the sense of, you know, Coach Bielema has shown that even just last year, the team was ready to go after bye weeks. You know, they came out week zero and took care of business against Nebraska. The game against Penn State was coming off of bye week. So it's, you know, I'm confident that he'll have those boys ready to go. And I think for that specific like type of coach, it's a good thing. Plus you get the extra bye week, so that's a good thing. And yeah, you do get a little bit of the pullback from having Indiana getting a look at the new offensive coordinator. But at the same time, you know, they're going to have to shake the rust off in a Big Ten game. And they're not going to be used to going full speed, because I mean, Mikey, I'm sure you can attest to it, you know, practice you can try and mimic full speed as much as you can, but nothing, you know, quite prepares you for that first game action. And so, you know, they might come out and they might be slow for the first quarter, but having played against Wyoming, you know, the boys will be ready to sock them in the mouth or something. So that, I think by and by it's very good for us to, I think I said that on the preview pod, petition to get us week zero every single year.
Does Illinois hold a few plays back? Mike, you said maybe keep it vanilla, yeah. Or is that only if things are going according to plan and you have a comfortable lead at some point?
Yeah, you know, if that's only if, you know, you do have a comfortable lead, because obviously, you know, the most important thing is winning the game. So you do whatever you can to win the game. But the goal, you know, for a game like this, especially when, you know, you're week zero, the team you're playing next week does not have a game, is try to, you know, keep it as basic as you can. And, you know, I would put a lot of money to say that, you know, 90% of the film that Indiana's been watching and will watch next week, you know, and scouting our offense will be UTSA film last year, which is, you know, will be all the same stuff that we'll probably run this year, but it is going to be different players. And that does, you know, that is an adjustment for a defense. So we'll see.
Is week zero even real? I mean, how do you start week
zero?
Just
make it week one.
Yeah, why is it not week one?
Week one plus.
Yeah.
I don't know. Come up with something. Week zero is so lame to just start, like, that shouldn't be how it goes.
Yeah, just call it bonus week.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fun, like, I don't know.
Preseason.
I mean, some would say,
ESPN,
some national
Fox,
pundits
hire us.
Might say that Illinois, Wyoming is preseason. So I don't know that we want to go that route. But
yeah, no, definitely not. It does count.
All right. Wyoming Cowboys. What do we know about this team?
That they're young. That's, you know, what I've read. I think I want to say in terms of returning production, they're, you know, one of the lowest in college football over the last several years. You know, and as we, you know, remember from the 2017 season at Illinois, we played, I want to say, the most true freshmen in college football that year. And there is a huge learning curve. You know, you can go through camp, you can go through spring ball as a freshman, but game is completely different. And, you know, when you throw fans in there, factor in it's on TV, being in this game, you know, broadcasting across the nation, you know, there's a built-in pressure that most of the guys on Wyoming are not used to.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen ain't walking through that door. I can tell you that much. It's I don't want to overlook them too much, but at the same time, like, their defensive linemen are, I think they're, none of them are over like 270 pounds or something like that in terms of guys at the top of the depth chart. And we're sending out an offensive lineman that averages essentially 6'6", 315. And so it's like, once again, in terms of even going back to the whole like vanilla thing, you hope that you can just like run your standard power or zone run plays and, you know, shove it down their throats and go home with the W. I do think that, you know, they're getting like the disadvantage of being a developmental program at the, you know, lower level. So it's like, yeah, they have all that turnover and usually they can coach guys up, but like losing so many people to the transfer portal and having to coach up so many young people, it's like, yeah, even like you were saying, Mikey, like 2017 wasn't great and you had, you know, Big Ten athletes in there. It's like, they're Wyoming. I'm not going to say they aren't great athletes, but they're not going to come along as quickly as you would hope like Big Ten athletes would. So it's kind of one of those where I'm not, you know, going to sell them short because they're a very well coached team and they're going to do what they need to do really well, which is they're just going to try and establish the run, play very sound vanilla defense, and that'll be that. But I think that, you know, Jimmy's and Joe's are going to obviously take effect in this game, and I think it'll bode well for the boys in orange and blue.
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of research on this team too, and as Mikey said, really young. It seems like they lost just a ton of their best players in the transfer portal, and they're going to be young. Illinois has an advantage there, hopefully. But when I was doing my research, I went down the rabbit hole because I was like, oh, Wyoming Cowboys. I know they go by the Pokes. So I was like, what even is a poke, right? Do you guys have any idea what a poke is, why they're called the Pokes?
I have no clue.
Isn't Oklahoma State, like, isn't there saying go Pokes?
They get
so
the
I know
same.
It's like a cowboy thing. I don't know. It's like you poke a cow in the hide with
a horse. Much better guess than I was expecting you to have. But cowboy, the term cowboy actually came from the term cow poke. So cow pokes, their old job was moving cattle from the ranch to either the rail line or the slaughterhouse.
Not as great, but we'll just, you know, they're poking them. Get in there, Bessie.
So if you heard the term cattle drive before, that's where it originated. And then, you know, the cow pokes would, yes, poke the cows to keep them moving on their way to the slaughterhouse. So that is the origin.
Cowboys and cow pokes, they're not the same thing, right? Like, cow pokes are just like discount cowboys.
Pretty much. Well, the naming convention just devolved into cowboy.
Yeah. Okay.
I also was trying to figure out if like cowboys are still in existence.
No shot. No way.
They said cowboy culture is alive and well in some states. They ranked the top three states where cowboy culture is. Is alive and well.
I would love to see your Google history.
Yeah, I was deep down the rabbit hole.
Are cowboys still around?
This is what researching the Wyoming Cowboys turned into.
Is Melbourne windy and are cowboys real?
I might just start. This might be a new segment that I just start
Google searches,
Googling basic questions about the opponent and see where it leads me. But do you guys want to guess the top three places where cowboy culture is alive and well? I'll give you a hint. Wyoming is not one of the top three.
I'm going to say Oklahoma, Texas, Montana.
New Mexico, Arizona, Oklahoma.
Mikey got one. That's it. Texas is number one.
Texas.
So Barry Lunny coming in here straight from Texas, thinking he's probably got the scout on Cowboys, knowing that he was down there for a couple years. But surprisingly, number two on the list, Kansas is the number two cowboy culture state. Okay. And Iowa is number three. So that's talking cow pokes with the field pass.
The more you know.
I've never met a cowboy, so I don't think they're real.
I think that if we ever take like a field pass does a field trip, then we just go find cowboys and interview them. Man on the streets kind of type of thing.
Well, I'm sure their mascot's a cowboy, right? I bet he'll be at the game on Saturday.
Ooh, fair point.
Ask him if he knows what a cowpoke is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That was talking Wyoming. All right. What else we want to talk about? Talk about our O-line a little bit. John, you said averaging 6'6", 315 or so.
Basically.
That's a squad. That's probably the biggest Illinois offensive line in I don't even know how long, but we're starting to look like a Wisconsin offensive line, and I'm all here for it.
Yeah, we just, you know, it's one thing to be big, but it's another thing to be, you know, big and good, you know. So, Dan, as you mentioned, you know, Wyoming's defensive line, you know, not the biggest guys. So, you know, we should expect our, you know, front five to get pushes all day long. And that, you know, if that does not occur, you know, that's something that we could be like, you know, worrying about going forward, considering most of the D lines are going to be bigger than what they're facing on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they go out there and take care of business, just because, like, with, you know, three new starters, it's going to take a while for them to gel, and I get that. But at the same time, like you just said, Mikey, like, if they go out there, you can use it as an excuse for maybe a couple bad drives or something here and there, but with how small those Wyoming defenders should be, it's like, I don't know if it really is that big of an excuse. Like, if they go out there and they lay an egg in the running game, like, if, you know, Chase Brown or Josh McCray are only going for, you know, 2.7 yards a carry, it's like, okay, we need to figure something out sooner rather than later. I'm sure they will, but this will be, you know, a good start and a good tune-up, in my opinion.
Let's get to picks of the week. Which one of you wants to kick it off?
Go with you, John. I feel like I usually kick it off. Let's hear what you got.
All right, let's do this. I think we're going to get a pretty convincing victory. I think it'll be one of those where we're up big early and then kind of just hold the ball for as long as possible. I can't wait for the first, like, 7.5-minute drive coming out of half. It's going to be great. I would say, okay, so if we're going big first half lead, I'll say like 24-6 going into the first half, and then they just really sit on that. So we'll say 31-13 is my final score.
Well, you're going straight to the maybe, game prediction.
Yeah, maybe I'll just from here on out yeah. continue going first, because I think I know what you meant there, Dan. But my pick of the week is a guy I picked last year who has yet to really come through for me. Any guesses? He's a wide receiver, not Isaiah Williams.
Let's go Casey Washington.
Yes, Casey, coming out. Now, do I think he'll be the most productive wide receiver? No, but, you know, obviously I've been very high on Isaiah Williams, but I do think Casey will have a good game. I'm going to go
specific stat of the week right here. Mikey's specific stat of the week is back. What do we got?
We need to dub in like a sound for that too. Like a weekly sound for, if we've got the trap game sound, yeah. We need something for Mikey's specific stat of the week.
It's time for Mikey's specific stat of the week.
Yeah, I'm going to go 5 catches, 58 yards, and 1 touchdown.
That's pretty specific, 58 yards, 1 touchdown. All right.
Yeah. And I'll just go and right into the game prediction. Yep. You know, obviously, I think Illinois is going to win. Dan, I believe you said the spread was 11.5.
Yeah, Vegas has Illinois as an 11-point favorite and the total at 44. So they're essentially predicting a 27.5-16.5 Illinois victory, which is not possible, obviously, but that's the implied odds.
I'm going to go 38-17 Illinois wins. And I think I think Wyoming will get a score late and we're going to be in control for most of the game. So 38-17.
There's Mikey's first of 12 victories right there predicted. John, as punishment for you giving the game prediction before the pick of the week, I'm gonna give mine before we kick it back to you for your pick of the week. My pick of the week is going to be on the defensive side of the ball, and that's going to be the guy I talked about in the preview, Sidney Brown. No club on the hand, hopefully, this season. But if things start going south, we might need to wrap that thing up. I'm thinking he's going to, I think he's going to have a sack this week, and he's either going to have a deflection that leads to an interception, or he's going to catch a deflection that is an interception. So that is my pick of the week, Sidney Brown. And then for game predictions, Illinois 11-point favorite. I think we're going to roll them pretty easily, and I'm feeling a 31-10 Illinois victory. So beat them by three touchdowns.
I like it.
John, you think you got it this time? Pick of the week?
So wait, this is my game prediction now?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so for my pick of the week, I don't know why I thought that was game prediction in my head. I guess I'm losing it, guys. I'm sorry. I'm going to go with Keith Randolph. I think that what we saw last year in his absence was, you know, that stretch where we lost to Maryland and Purdue and had a close game against Charlotte. So I think it's one of those where he's like a key cog of the defense. And I think he'll kind of show out really well in week zero and take care of I think he'll get a sack, even though he plays, you know, the tackle position. It might be, you know, a sexier stat to go with like Seth Coleman or Zeke Holmes with a sack. But I think Keith Randolph will get one. He'll have like two tackles for loss, and he'll just be run stuffing all day long.
There we go. We got two defensive picks and a Casey Washington offensive pick. So any closing remarks here before we shut it down?
Yeah, you know, I'm excited. You know, I think all of Illini Nation's ready. You know, after what we did last year, definitely surprised some people. You know, 5-7's obviously, you know, nothing to be excited about, but for what we've seen in the past, you know, it was a completely different team where, you know, we were in the close games, we were finishing till the end. And I, you know, I'm excited to see if we could build off that this year and, you know, really move towards creating a sustainable program. So here we go.
Illinois, Big Ten football, can't beat it.
All right. Illinois, Wyoming, Saturday, 3 p.m., Big Ten Network. And check us out on social media. We're at The Field Pass. Thanks for listening. Go Illini.